Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. We're commanded to be the light of the world, to shine forth the light of God's truth and hope. Jesus is the light of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Darkness. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness comprehends it not. But we're Christians, so we're supposed to comprehend. This is encouraging to us.
Yes,
yeah, right. So listen to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat.
Hello.
The producer of VFN Radio program, and Chris.
Hello.
We're going to get right into the continuum perspective of Charles Stanley talking about the perspective. If you missed it, we were just in the end of the first hour listening to Charles Stanley give a perspective of the Boston bombing, and it's so important to get a word perspective. And I like the fact that it's coming from, you know, we've heard it ourselves. Rejoiners heard it, Morningstar Ministries and others have heard it, but this is a very important, because I know there's our listeners out there that really respect Charles Stanley too, and listen to his ministry and been encouraged by it, and listen to what, you know, Charles Stanley with In Touch Ministries, and you can find this in its entirety, you know, at intouch.org. But this is Charles Stanley giving perspective of this Boston bombing and about the will of God and the permissive will of God, you know, and what we're doing, and God's getting our attention. But listen up.
So little by little, we try to remove all the things that are godly. And what happens? We have a society that is now in the greatest danger it has ever been in. And I've lived long enough to see the difference. And so the question is, what's going to happen? Mark this down, and I say it with great, great sorrow in my heart. It's the beginning. We've pushed God and ignored him. Then what is he doing? He's just pulling back his cover of safety for this nation. Listen, he protected us through two wars of which we were totally, absolutely unqualified and unprepared for, and we won them both. He can go down through the years of history how God has blessed us. And then we decided we're going to act like heathen, pagan, unbelievers. We want it in every aspect of our life, so we start in school. We're going to take off all of our clothes. We're going to close the Word of God. We're going to shut down the churches. We're going to commit all the immorality we want to. We don't want any hindrance whatsoever. When that reaches a certain point, the God of this world, of this nation, of the Word of God, he just pulls it back and lets us have what we ask for.
And it's a very important thing that he's saying here, because it's exactly how God does it. But it's also a word that was given in 2008 and 2010 by John Paul Jackson. You know, you're going to get what you ask for, but you're not going to like what you get.
Right.
And, you know, some people say, well, why is this happening? It's because we asked for it, you know. And somebody says, well, I didn't ask for it. Well, did you say anything or did you remain silent? You know, I don't have the quote right now, but it goes something like this from Dr. Martin Luther King when he's saying, true evil is when good men remain silent.
Mm.
And true evil is when we say nothing, why these things persist. And that's been a history quite often, you know, in America. But today, are we still silent? Are we still trying to keep our stuff in things? Listen, you got to hear this generation. Don't give up hope for this pagan generation. It's on VFN TV soon. It's called This Generation. And understand, this stuff's going to increase until we respond to God. And there is hope. But you're listening to Charles Stanley's response to these bombs. And he's just said, it's going to get worse. It's going to increase. And that's in alignment with what so many of us are hearing. We don't want to hear it. Obviously, we don't. But we also don't want the end result of not turning to God and so many people entering into hell and damnation. We want people to be saved and forgiven. You're listening to Charles Stanley's perspective on the Boston bombing that just took place with In Touch Ministries. Listen up.
The Word of God, he just pulls it back and lets us have what we ask for. Now, the tragedy is this. God protects his children, but we will be in a society that is becoming more and more godless. And if ever the children of God need to stand up and be brave and courageous, this is the time. If you're not going to show courage at this point, then when are you going to start? And
that's our big response too. It's like, this is really a good time. You see the trains? Do you see the ghettos ahead of us? Do you see JJ? You know what's going to happen to the Christians and the Jews? I mean, hopefully there's a related even article on, if you're listening to this off of the Torch too, to look at JJ and understand the end result for it's the Jews and Jesus, or the Jews and Christians, is not good. Mm-hmm. If we keep our backs, our faces away from God and don't turn to him, it's just going to get worse. But understand this, that God will protect you. He'll put a mark on you and keep you in the midst of what's about to happen. You can stand rightly before God when others are not. And it's amazing how God can just bless you in the midst of great difficulty. But understand, he does that so you can be assigned to others that they can turn to God too, and they can be blessed, not that because you're any better, but because God, there's a difference between those who stand with God and those who stand in darkness. You're listening to Charles Stanley give his perspective, and it's about to wrap up, but you got to hear, he says it's going to get worse, but God's going to protect those that are his.
When I hear people talk about, well, I really objected to that, but my boss said, well, you know, those who are higher up. Well, who's higher than God? Nobody's higher than God. And I believe that if believers would stand up to what you know is right and defend the Word of God and defend the morality that you know is from God, we could have a turnaround in this country. If we don't, you've got a taste of what we're going to be facing over and over and over again.
And that's you know, it would be a fool to stand here on VFN Radio, VFN TV, as we're broadcasting around the world, saying what we're saying, if we didn't believe that there's hope to turn around.
That's right.
You know, and truly, you know, we would be a fool for God any day, just like David said. You know, we would do whatever God wants us to do. But the reason why is there's hope. There's hope. We can turn around. This thing can turn around. But listen, if the world doesn't turn around, if America doesn't turn around, and all 50 states in America don't turn around, you can turn around. If all this is so that you will serve God in your generation, it's worth it. It's worth everyone that will turn around and make Jesus truly the Lord of their life. You listen to Charles Stanley. We're about to wrap this up. Perspective of what's taking place in America, all this turmoil, and how the epicenter of the Boston bombing. Listen up.
I hate to say it. It grieved my heart so badly to say it the first time. I went back to the study, and I wanted to weep. I thank God. I'm sorry to have to say, here's what we're looking at. But this is reality. This is the truth. And so we've decided to worship the God of the body. And so things look pretty bad. So we ask this question. How are we to respond? We're to endeavor to discover the good that can come from this tragedy. You say, no, wait a minute. How can there be any good coming?
Think about that. How can any good come from that? And you were just listening to Charles Stanley. It can good become because we listen. Consider hardship as discipline, that God is treating us as sons and daughters, part of the family. We can just say, you know what? It was hard. It was painful. But I've turned away. And that's what discipline is about. Godly discipline is about things happening, hardships happening that change our behavior. It's not about punitive damages. It's not about, you know, I'm going to get you for that. It's like, please turn or burn, right? Mm-hmm. Turn. And the goods comes by it. But all of a sudden, when you see, you know, that we say, we don't want that in our lives. We don't want that. And look what happened in past generations with all the different things that happened and came out of that was changed behaviors.
Right. Amazing.
But with that, understanding also we need to respond. It's being harmonized, people that are hearing from God. And it's the mercies of God that we can turn around now. And you're going to be hearing in a moment from Helga, a perspective of the concentration camps during the Holocaust, because of that is what God's been showing several believers, is they're beginning to see the same imagery and having dreams and visions about the same kind of trains and the same kind of, you know, what happens is when in the Holocaust, the enemy took over the leadership and they just began to portray God's people as the problem. But in history, it's how it's always been, because God's people cannot mingle with or play with or have a partnership or have other gods. I mean, it's not going to work out good.
Right.
And so by doing that, the very one that you partner with is going to reject you and turn on you. I mean, even Nero, you know, started the fires, and he used that moment to be able to blame the Christians, for the fire that he started. And then they ended up using the Christians as lighting for his garden, as they would set, he would put them on, you know, stakes or whatever, and he would set Christians on fire and walk through his garden. Then they boiled, and I'm this terrible person. Understand, Satan hates you.
Mm-hmm.
He hates you. Openly, you can listen to Islam and read the Quran and see that they hate Jews. They hate Christians. They hate, quote, the infidel, unquote. And that they want to destroy them. They're not going to be satisfied until a rock says, hey, there's a Jew under me. Come and take this. They hate God's people. And that's the Antichrist spirit. They don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm talking about that's just one, you know, aspect of what's going on. But it just kind of helps you get a perspective of what Satan thinks about you.
Mm.
And he is definitely not your friend. You know, he is an enemy of God's people. And so when we get back, you're going to be able to hear a perspective, a child's perspective of what it was like to be in the Holocaust in the concentration camps. You're listening to VFN Radio.
Can you wear religious symbols on t-shirts to public schools? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I want to know if my daughter can wear a t-shirt related to that, or she will cause any problems at the school.
Expressive t-shirts that have a religious or political message are protected in the school setting. And the Supreme Court, in a case called Tinker, said that neither teachers nor students surrender the rights to freedom of speech at the schoolhouse gate. And about 2 years ago, I argued the campaign finance case, a portion of it, before the Supreme Court. I represented actually students, and we argued that Tinker standard on free speech, which would allow kids to wear Christian t-shirts or t-shirts with a message on it, is protected. And the court unanimously readopted that Tinker standard. They hadn't done it in about 20 years, but they reincorporated the Tinker standard. So the law is really very good on that right now as far as student expression.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
As a matter of fact, I want to say too to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from a lot of our listeners and viewers and new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all mm-hmm. around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. This is VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. Light meaning the light of the world, not light like easy. We're doing that so that you can actually not be a part of that. Listening to VFN Radio may be your only light.
Mm-hmm.
It may be your only opportunity during a day that every news broadcast, every radio broadcast, every conversation is just dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's doubtful. It's this... Hitler-like type conversations, or mm-hmm. Aryan-type conversations, or Iranian, or Muslim-type conversations, or political, which is type conversations, or you could listen to VFN Radio, and you're able to hear what's taking place, but then you can hear what God's word says about it, and you can get a perspective and you go, hey, I can know things without being terrified. I can. Mm-hmm. God has prepared me during this day to have a peace in the midst of whatever's going on. There's going to be a great harvest. We're believing and praying that God would bring a third great awakening to America, and a great awakening changes the DNA of the nation. They said Hitler's goal was to de-Christianize the church, and they wanted to infiltrate it with political people. And what do we have today? We have people who are very politically connected and into some different political parties, and they like the whole scheme of the thing. And they're coming into the churches, and they're trying to de-Christianize it and make it more of a social justice movement. And that's what's taking place right now. Listen, I know this firsthand, and as a community organizer, I saw in my history, my past, that the church was being infiltrated by men and women who weren't Christians, mm-hmm. and the church was just letting them come in to do social justice movements. You got to hear that. We have to understand this. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. VFN Radio gives you that knowledge and that wisdom and that light. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. We were just talking about hearing the perspective of the bombings that were taking place from Charles Stanley with In Touch Ministries, and how we're beginning to see and hear, and God began to talk to us, I guess it was last year maybe, with the gathering, with the God's beginning to seek God's perspective of Israel.
Mm. Yeah,
it was a year before.
A year ago.
Yeah, a year ago. And no, 2 years ago, because I remember who was holding the pictures in of Israel. God showed me America crashing.
Yeah, it was too.
The Constitution just being shattered. And he showed me even Israel, you know, being, you know, damaged and but not destroyed. And understand, you know, I don't say, hey, I'm a prophet.
Right.
But I am amazed at things that God shares with me as I share them. At the time I'm sharing them, people just, you know, don't even, he's like, what? And they go back, isn't this exactly what you was
yeah,
like?
Yeah, right.
And now we're seeing people, you remember how we had the leaders come together from around the nation, and I took the Constitution, the pocket Constitution, and wrapped it in an abiding band and handed it out. And that year was a year that America began to do battle for the Constitution. And we're in that battle today.
Right.
And listen to this. This is so important because this is Helga, a child's perspective of what it was like being in a concentration camp. And just listen to this perspective of a child. Imagine being there locked down in this horrific place.
Mom and Dad were sitting by the radio. Their heads hung low. This morning at 6:30, the German army crossed the border. I didn't really understand the meaning of those words, but I felt there was something terrible in them.
I was not from a very rich family, but I had good parents. We were a good family, and I had a very lucky childhood. But after occupation, everything has been changed, and our life became still more and more difficult.
Since March 15th, there has not been a single calm day. Everything is our fault, even though we didn't do anything. We can't help being Jews.
First, my father was expelled from his job. All the Jews were expelled and lost their jobs. And then also children were expelled from schools.
This time, the Germans came up with a great idea that even the Middle Ages would have been proud of. Stars, bright yellow, with the word Judah. At school, we boast about whose star is sewn on best, even though it's not pleasant to have to wear it. We make light of it. We got used to other things. We'll get used to this. Another new thing is coming to disrupt Jewish families. Supposedly, there will be transports. Everyone is getting ready for travel. The arrests never stop. Danger lurks at every step. When you leave your house, you never know if you will return. tomorrow, we say goodbye to our home, our relatives, and everything that was dear and close to us. We are supposedly off to a new land to avoid persecution. We will be taken care of. Things will go well for us. I'll never find my way around here. But so what? We won't be here for long. There are 21 of us in quite a small room. If you haven't seen it with your own eyes, you would never believe it.
Many of us staying in different place, but it was some possibility sometimes that we can somehow smuggle some messages to each other. I was fond of drawing, and it was December, and it was a time where children in a normal life built a snowman, but it was also a memory of the past life. It was such a normal childish drawing. I found this drawing very important because it was my first drawing in Terezín. And when I smuggled it to my father, he answered me, "Draw what you see." After the response by my father, I started to describe the everyday life in Terezín. During the time, I created about 100 of these drawings. Because I spent in Terezín almost 3 years, and they are very important today because it was forbidden to make pictures, to make film. And maybe that's why my drawings are today so important, because there doesn't exist any other picture material.
What kind of Mother's Day is it when I don't even have a flower for my mom? I know. I'll make one out of paper. It's not much, but after all, Mom knows there's not a lot of choice. Anyway, next year I'll make it up to her. By that time, we'll surely be home.
Terezín was used for propaganda. They wanted to show the world that Jews are staying well. Once it was invited, International Red Cross Commission.
A huge cleanup of the town is in progress. It's funny, but it looks like they're trying to change Terezín into a spa town. Freshly sown grass is coming up in the town square. The middle is decorated with a huge bed of roses. There's a pool, a merry-go-round, and seesaws. Everything was arranged like a stage set.
At the time, we very much hoped when International Red Cross would come and they would see the situation, it would be help for us and something would be changed to better. But inspection came and they watched and looked only on the places which were shown them. And the inspection itself lasted only a half day. And in the evening, they described a certificate. They found everything okay. So it was a great propaganda, and they believed it. They created a film. And it is the only film which existed, but it is a live propaganda film created by Germans. From this film, they asked the prisoners come to sit in front of a camera, and they had to say, "I am well in Terezín, I don't miss anything." Transport was sent not only to Terezín, but also from Terezín somewhere. Nobody knew where. It was called only the East Transport. We had no idea about gas chambers. This first four transports in 44 were men only, and with the second one, my father was sent away.
Here we sit today, for the last time. We can't hold back the tears. We've stored up too many of them this past week. I can still see him standing on the steps, waving, smiling. Daddy. Why won't you let us volunteer to go with you?
They promised this man their families would stay in Terezín. It was lie, as everything was lie. And so 2 days after he left, I was included with my mother. And we hope to meet my father. We had no idea that something like that existed. We didn't know very well. It was a step in hell. If hell exists, it perhaps looks like Auschwitz. That was not enough food, and from the food we received, it was not possible to leave. The situation was terrible. It was hopeless, but we never wanted to leave hope. When somebody left hope, he was lost.
Mom is getting weaker by the day. The end of the war might not be far off, but even if it's only a week away, our end will come first. God have mercy. Give Mom enough strength so she can see us liberated.
For us, it was a little too late. We were glad everything was over, of course, but the first thoughts were, so we survived, but what about my father? Did he also survive? We left the camps, but we carried the camps still inside. The people who brought us to Prague, they told us, you are free and go home. But it was no hope. We were not expected. Nobody expected our coming back. Most or perhaps all of them who returned quite alone. They had nobody. I had my mother. I never gave a thought about we could be separated. So when I married, she stayed with me and lived with my family till her death, and she died in her age 84, 20 years ago. We never learned really where he perished, but probably just after coming to Auschwitz, he was directly sent to gas chamber. I always suppose and think about him, what he would say, what he would tell me, what I have to do. My father was very fond of music, and I married a musician. My son is a professional musician, so is my granddaughter, and so always I think about it, how it will be a pleasure for him. So he's sitting with me there. Read it very carefully and keep it in memory what happened, and do something that it wouldn't happen anymore. That's what we learn, to be tolerant to each other, to understand to each other, not to be selfish, to be healthy, to have family, to have hope and freedom.
These were once people, healthy, strong, with their own will and thoughts. Love for life, for good things, for beauty. What's left are phantoms, bodies, skeletons without souls. No one will weep for them. No one will lament their passing. Until someday, there will be a mention of them in our textbooks.
You're listening to CBN News's segment on Helga's viewpoint, a child's viewpoint of the Holocaust. The reason why I think it's so relevant, and I really believe the reason why God's even touching CBN to be able to, the 700 call, to be able to do that. And you can get to that, of course, on CBN, or you can go to the VFN Torch at vfn.com and see the actual journal and the pictures that she wrote, also what was taking place in there. And just to see her face as she describes what's going on, understand that's what Satan feels about God's people. Quit trying to make friends with darkness. You know, shake yourself. You know, whoever you obey, that's who you're a slave to. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 8. And whoever you're listening and following is your father, is what God, Jesus says. And so, you know, who your daddy is, right? Who's your father? You know, who is your father? And listen to this and learn from him. She says, read her diary. And she, now it's for the first time written in English. You could have access to it, the VFN Torch. And understand it so it doesn't get repeated again. And you just, I can't help but just see the groundwork being set. Understand that Hitler, everybody thought he was the greatest thing since sliced bread because he was going to provide everything for the people and take care of it. The opposite happened. But in the midst of all that, you know, millions were killed, and millions of Jews were killed. 6 million Jews, I believe, were killed, and Christians were killed. And that was the end result. If we could just eliminate those who said yes to God and are God's people. And that's his goal. But the reason why, in the context of that, know that for 10 years, for 10 years, God had just compelled me to prophesy what I refer to as the Malachi mandate, which is Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 through 6. And he says, before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes, that he would send Elijah, and he would turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, or the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And for 10 years, just nonstop, delivered that word and spoke in the midst of it to the government officials, letting them know what God was doing, and watching God remove the ones from office who heard and didn't respond, even to the point of imprisonment, even to the point of death. One of them found up images. It was tragic. And again and again, and understand that this is what God is saying. Just what you heard Helga talk about the, you know, what, how God's people were treated by the, by those held captive by darkness, was they were being destroyed. I mean, when you see this, you got to see this video. You can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and watch the video footage and the movie that she's talking about that they show people as a lying video of how it really was at the ghettos there, where they had taken all of God's people or the Jews that was there. And but here we are again right now. He says, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. And so, you know, as God would begin to talk to me about the shift was taking place, and he began to just turn things around and what he was about to do and take down. All of a sudden, I'm sitting here watching on the same news that would cover that particular government that's been hearing that word for heard it for 10 years and, and didn't respond, was now they're actually role-playing being taken captive. I mean, who would ever thought that that now we have to actually see what it's like to be able to feel like as a government official to be taken hostage and then negotiate and practice negotiating with somebody who's taken the government hostage. You know, captivity. That's what happened to the Jews, right? There's captivity. And so they're role-playing it. What really got me is it's at the same week he was, God was talking to me during time of prayer and fasting on that Friday, which is the 20th of April, I believe it was, that I'm watching this news, and all of a sudden, you got to hear that. I'm gonna play it for you so you can actually hear yourself, because they had a officer, or not a former officer, simulating what it was like to have somebody come in and take them captive. And so you have this man with, I don't know if it's a real gun or not, but it's not a real scene, it's a simulation of role-playing the very prophetic word that I delivered to the same government and the same people for 10 years. Is this not right? And you got to hear this, and I want you to hear it first, and they're role-playing, and you think, well, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is it's not normal in America to role-play what it's like to be taken hostage as a government official. That's not a normal thing in city councils and county commission meetings and school boards and that type of thing. But they were all gathered together in the Gulf Coast region to be able to listen up to this little news clip from WEAR TV3.
Well, police officers in Boston, of course, have been dealing with life and death situations all week now. Well, today, law enforcement agencies across the Gulf Coast work together to make sure they're ready for a hostage situation. Two people took over Pensacola City Hall and held seven people hostage while negotiation teams trying to defuse this training simulation. Channel 3's Amber Southern joins us now live from City Hall with more on what they learned. Amber?
Bob, it can happen anywhere, anytime. Somebody can come into a packed building and take innocent people hostage. That's why the Pensacola Police Department held a mock hostage scenario today here at City Hall.
Imagine this. You were sitting in a City Hall meeting when...
Be quiet. Be quiet.
Now, your life is on the line, and you're depending on law enforcement to help. In this scenario, two men who are upset with the government have planted bombs in the City Hall chambers and others across the city. All they want to do is talk to the media and get their anti-government message across. If not, they will activate the bombs, possibly injuring and killing innocent people. Chris Wilkerson was on the Pensacola Police Department's negotiation team for 17 years. Friday, he played the role of the bad guy.
All these situations are incredibly dynamic, and they change directions on a dime. Things are introduced that you didn't expect would be introduced and that sort of stuff. So you have to constantly think on your feet.
Law enforcement agencies from all over the Gulf Coast participated in the training. Each agency was able to learn from one another.
Some of the agencies don't have the things that we have. We can see what everybody else does and what we have, you know, sharing and hopefully getting trained at the same time.
First-time negotiators were put in the hot seat, trying to meet the demands of Wilkerson, a.k.a. Malachi.
You're innocent.
That's so important because that's what we were talking about, that the very one that was simulating, you know, Wilkerson, this hostage-taking situation with the government, who have been hearing for 10 years, you know, that turning the hearts of the fathers to the children to the fathers, or else I'll smite the earth with a curse. You know, what does that look like? Well, it looks like what took place in Boston. It looks like what it took place in New York in 9/11. It looks like what it takes place in all these different things. But they said that of all the names they could have chosen, you know, for, I believe, Chris Wilkerson, which is probably, he's probably in law enforcement at the same time I was.
All right.
With the city, is they call him AKA Malachi. I mean, that's so relevant to the region because that was the word that was so loudly prophesied that that the governor began to pick up on it, which was, you know, 200, 300 miles away or whatever, his 200 miles, his office is away. And he began to change his speeches at that time and a mentor program that was going on across the entire state. But it's like that the Pensacola, the region that now, and this is actually the Gulf Coast, I believe this is Okaloosa, but it was Santa Rosa, Escambia counties, all kind of came together to be able to walk that out. And now look what's taking place. I mean, it's amazing. AKA Malachi. I believe that is EZ-12, Ezekiel 12. That's a sign to us that this word is true. And what do we need to do? We need to prepare for, you know, crazy people doing crazy things, but we need to prepare our hearts by turning back to God. Turning back to God. That's what we need to do.
Right.
And you can watch this on WEARTV.com and watch it happen. See it for yourself. But he's sitting there holding a gun. Is he not?
Yeah.
And they're calling his name, obviously, is Wilkerson, but he was going to portray, okay, I'm going to take you hostage with this gun. Fake simulated gun, and he chose, of all the names you could choose in the baby book, right, of all the names in the world, he chose the name that was spoken over that region of America for 10 years straight, A.K.A. Malachi. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. It is amazing how this is all working.
It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Oh my goodness, things that are taking place. You've got to hear every moment of VFN Radio. You don't want to miss it. Also, don't forget about the third hour. The third hour is going to be straight from the awakening in South Africa as we continue to hear the anointing. And literally, it's obvious, it's a lot more than just an hour, but you're going to hear an hour of the awakening taking place in Durban, South Africa, as Todd Bentley, up under the leadership or spiritual fatherhood, I guess you would say, of Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries and what's taking place. You're going to be so blessed. It's in the third hour today. We are about to hear the eighth part of a 10-part interview done by Sid Roth of Tom Horn and Chris Putnam, the authors of Exo Vaticana and Petros Romanos, these books talking about end-time prophecy. And it is pretty wild how these things are coming to pass. We just want you to hear it. You know, get the books yourself. It's referenced. Everything that's said has been referenced and interviewed. Obviously, this is not all Catholics they're talking about. They were talking about inside of the Catholic organization, the church, and what's taking place. We're going to go right in there so we can get the full interview. Listen to Sid Roth. It's supernatural. Interviewing Tom Horn and Chris Putnam.
Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha is a Hebrew word, means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man, getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Tom Horn, is red hot for the Messiah from literally the time he became a believer. He has been prepared to do the research for so that true believers will not be deceived in the last days. This is a show that I never thought I would be doing, Tom. It's too outrageous for me. But the more I get into it, the more I see the scriptural connections, the more that I see the research you have, the more that I have to believe that this is true. Your brand new book is literally just off the press. We have exclusive rights for a season. It's called Exo Vaticana, with two CDs we're making available for a gift of $30. But this is what I asked you to do yesterday. For the next 2 days, I want you to paint a picture of what you see coming, starting with what you call, and many others call, the last pope.
There's intrigue that surrounds how this final pope is going to accommodate the newly celebrated astral theology of some of Rome's top astronomers, theologians, whether this will somehow fulfill these Catholic prophecies we've talked about, too, concerning the coming man of sin, the seed of Satan, either as an alien serpent savior or as a deceiver that points mankind to a god of another world. And you're right. That just sounds outrageous, right? and it won't be until somebody gets this book from you and they read it and they read the actual astronomers that we interviewed and the stuff that they told us that they'll be able to nail down in their mind that no matter how incredible this may sound, it is an emerging belief system that has its seat in Rome. But in point of fact, the Bible told us a lot about this before any of these astronomers did. The Bible describes both the false prophet. Is that going to be this new pope, Petrus Romanus? It also describes the Antichrist as having allegiances and endowments that are not of this earth. Not only can both of them call fire down from out of those heavens, suspected to be the host location of aliens, Revelation 13, 12 and through 14 and so on talk about that, and describe a clear alliance between the powers of the celestial realm and these two leading end-time characters on earth. But not only does that happen, but the prophet Daniel tells us that their belief system will actually honor a strange alien god. This is a true interpretation of the Hebrew Old Testament. In Daniel 11:38 through 39, here's what it says, quote, "But in his estate shall he honor the god of forces, and a god whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver, precious stones, pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds," that's the Hebrew mazim, "with a strange god, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain," end quote. Now, there's several parts of this prophecy from Daniel concerning the arrival of the Antichrist and his celebration of a strange alien god that stands out just really unusual. First, the god of forces that he describes, or alternatively, god of fortresses. This is connected to Baal Shamim, literally the Lord of the Heavens. And this is an ancient sky deity that the Manichaean Gnostics worshipped as the greatest angel of the greatest power of the heavens. But the second reference in that text is what really gets me. It's to a deity that he calls a strange god. The Hebrew text there can literally be rendered an alien god. So there is this extraordinary prophecy in the book of Daniel that seemed to have forecast the very stuff that we're now talking about that is emerging right at the same time that the 700-year-old Zohar tells us that the Antichrist would appear, and a 900-year-old Catholic prophecy tells us the final pope would appear at exactly that same time. Theology is intentionally being developed that would accommodate what it sounds like the prophet Daniel was describing. And so, with that in mind, we provide in this book that you're making available to people sources that make it evident that for hundreds of years, both Catholic prophets and Protestant reformers even believed that the Antichrist would ultimately champion a strange alien god through an apostate priesthood, and that to some extent this would be seated in Rome. Catholics believe that too. And that also, that union would ultimately lead to war and destruction from the heavens. One thing we didn't take time to talk about is the fact that turn of the century, Protestant reformers also set dates. We don't set dates, but they did. And guess what? More than two dozen of them, including famous turn of the century preachers like Jonathan Edwards, old sinners in the hands of an angry God, Jonathan Edwards, guess what? He said in the year 2012 will be the date in which the Antichrist and the false prophet will begin their emergence upon the earth. More than two dozen Protestant reformers made that prediction. The Theological Dictionary of Princeton University, 1830, the end will begin in the year 2012. So over and over, both Protestants, Catholics, evangelicals, and also occultic sources, the Maya, the end of their calendar. They didn't say the end would come. That's baloney. What they said was a new time would dawn upon the earth, out of which will come a new form of man. And the Maya also saw two great leaders would emerge upon the earth at that period of time, of which the earth would be enamored. So, Sid, what I'm saying is we're now facing a world. It's a world of change. It's a strange time. And we're harnessing the cosmic energies now in a way that may not play out very well for mankind.
Now, tell me about your scenario of perhaps hybrid humans.
Yeah, well, this is extraordinary. I've not only wrote the book on transhumanism and the connection it may play with the arrival of an Antichrist. I'm also producing a documentary film on the subject. This is a very growing popular belief that we are entering what is now being called the hybrid age. And what they mean by that is that this is an age now in which we're going to do to humans what we have been doing with genetically modified crops, what we have been doing with genetically modified animals and super salmon and all that stuff. And you can't go to the store today. If you go down to your local super Walmart and you buy almost anything off the shelf, it is now contaminated with genetically modified organisms. And we're not going to know, if the Lord tarry, we're not going to know what the results of that is going to be on our health, on our genetics, or anything else. But now the next step is to begin doing to humans what we have been doing with genetically modified crops and genetically modified animals. And we could talk about the genetics, the robotics, artificial intelligence, nanotechnology, synthetic biology. But I happen to believe that some of this actually has its date in the past, when things happened, what would we call them, the watchers who came down, this ancient story, this legend that I happen to believe has its roots in truth, when these powerful angels, we could think of them as being genetic scientists who came down. And what did they do? They started interbreeding with humans, and they mixed animal genetics and human genetics, and they created this bizarre creature called the Nephilim of ancient days. But the prophecy in Matthew 24 tells us, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be at the coming of the Son of Man. So once again, are we seeing a very powerful sign that tells us the times in which we are living, in which man now, for the first time since the Great Flood, has intentionally set about to alter the human genetic code and to do what we believe happened once before, when it said that all flesh, both man and beast, had been corrupted, and that ultimately led to the Great Flood, in which God had to obliterate these contaminated bloodlines and start over again with Noah and his offspring.
Well, this intermingling in the foods and now in the humans of corrupting sounds just like the days of Noah again.
It absolutely does, Sid. In fact, one of the university professors that's well connected to transhumanism, he's the director of the Future of Humanity Institute, and he's advocating that to build the superior man of the future, we need to blend the genetics of humans with animals and plants, synthetic life forms. It does. It sounds identical to what all of the ancient records that are both reflected in the Bible and also just period pieces of the time, what we would now think of as, newspaper reports. People seeing what they saw and reporting what was going on with the blending of animal genetics, plant genetics, human genetics. What's very interesting about some of this, and we'll run out of time to talk about, is how some of these people see these man with beast combinations opening dimensions, opening portals to other realities, opening our eyes, that in the same way that the animal kingdom has levels of perception that are beyond human, like animals can sense earthquakes, smell tumors, dogs can hear sounds above 40,000 hertz, dolphins even higher, but we also know, based on the scripture, at least in the story of the biblical story of Balaam's donkey, they might also be able to see into the spirit world. And it is amazing right now that from the transhumanists, the world's leaders actually in this field, all the way over to the Arizona State University that recently launched what's called the Sophia Project, that behind their transhumanist aspirations is the quest. In fact, on the Arizona State University website, it actually says to make contact with deceased people, spirit guides, angels, otherworldly entities and extraterrestrials, and or a universal intelligence or God. So they specifically want to use this as a method to open portals that were closed by God in order to make contact with other kinds of intelligence.
You can't possibly understand end times without these two books. They document secret files in the Vatican Library and belief and aliens.
We have those books available. You can go to sidroth.org, or you can go to the VFN Torch at vfntv.com. Click on the torch. Understand that we are in times right now. I'm looking at an article right now on the Public Radio International's website. It says bioengineers create lifelike human ear with 3D printer. They print a human ear in 15 minutes.
Wow.
In 15 minutes. And it's going to be made available. I mean, you can look at related articles to what's happening in this eighth part of the interview, that they, in 15 minutes, they're printing a human ear. And it's basically the cartilage and everything that would go behind the ear, and it grows. And once it's implanted, and they're looking for, you know, children that are born without an ear and different things, mm-hmm. or, you know, soldiers that have lost an ear, to be able to put it behind the ear. But it's like we're actually tinkering with. They have changed the DNA with a jellyfish, a glowing jellyfish, with sheep, and now they have glowing sheep that glow in the dark. I'm telling you, these are the things that are happening right now. We're messing with God's DNA strands. Mm-hmm. Inside of our human cell structure, that how we're made up of. Listen, what they're saying, hey, if you think it's weird, you're not the only one. I'm just kind of like eking by these interviews going, this just can't be real. But, you know, he said it'll be just like in the days of Noah. So we've got to face the Nephilim. That how did that come to pass? And it came to pass because you think about the fallen angels that are in the second heaven. Look at Ephesians 6 and 12. In Genesis chapter 6, so those guys somehow come and with the daughters of men, and all of a sudden a new breed is born. They call them the heroes of old in Genesis 6. But today everybody is so prepped for this thing. Listen, don't try to figure this out. Just turn to God and abide, and He will lead you all the way through this. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.